In Grant County, New Mexico, in the 1930s and 40s, miners struggled to make ends meet while working in unsafe conditions in the copper, zinc, and lead mines of the Empire Zinc Company. Anglo and Chicano workers were separated into different tiers, with Chicanos getting lower wages and worse company housing. It all came to a head when the Mexican-American miners went on strike in 1951, which later inspired a film made in 1954 called Salt of the Earth. Tired of their employers' refusal to make the mine safer, a group of Chicano miners in New Mexico go on strike. When the company uses the Taft-Hartley Act to break the strike, the miners' wives, noticing a loophole in the court order, take their husbands' places on the picket line. The story is told from the perspective of Esperanza, played by Rosaura Revueltas, the wife of the union foreman, played by Juan Chacon, who resists her taking an active role in the strike. Salt of the Earth was made by a group of filmmakers who had been blacklisted in the anti-communist campaigns of the McCarthy era, including the director, Herbert Biberman, co-screenwriter Michael Wilson, and producer Paul Jericho. The production was continually harassed by the police. The film had to be edited in secret and submitted to different developing houses under false titles. Saul Kaplan's musical score was performed by an orchestra that was told it was for a film with a different title. Revueltas, one of the few professional actors in the cast, was deported, and they had to go to Mexico to shoot her remaining scenes. Blacklisted in both countries, she never made another film. Against all these odds, the picture was finished, but was banned from exhibition. So determined were the anti-communists and the government in Hollywood that no one should see it. It only managed to be shown in one New York theater. In the 1970s, it was finally revived in the States and became world famous. Except for Revueltas, Will Gear, who plays the town sheriff in charge of breaking up the picket lines, and a few others, the cast was made up of non-professionals, many of them from the actual union whose strike against the Empire Zinc Mine had inspired the story. Although events that took a long time to transpire are compressed into a shorter period for narrative purposes, the picture is remarkably faithful to the events, way of life, and culture being depicted. One might expect that a production under those kinds of pressures would be clumsy and amateurish, but it tells its story well, with a good narrative rhythm and considerable emotional power. A few of the performances verge on the wooden, but the main ones are fine, and Revueltas is marvelous, conveying a believable mix of shyness, strength, and ultimately heroism. To watch a film that concerns itself with the lives of working-class people, and in this case, a minority population as well, without condescension or attempts to trick up the story with romance or melodrama, is a rarity, even today. To watch this and realize that it was made in the 1950s is amazing. We grow used to thinking of an era or decade in terms of its typical portrayal in the media of the time, and in this way, the dominant modes of entertainment falsify the depth and diversity that existed. The most daring and fascinating aspect of this film is its depiction of sexual politics in the homes of the miners as a mirror of the politics they are struggling against in the strike. The miners leave out any demands for heating or proper sanitation in the home, claiming that it's of less importance than working conditions at the mine. But later, when the women are on the picket line and the men have to do laundry and other household chores, they begin to understand the difficult conditions that the women have to endure every day. The men also oppose the women's activism in the strike. Esperanza's husband feels humiliated to see his wife on a picket line, and he lashes out at her for neglecting her proper role. This feminist angle is so modern that it's hard to believe you're watching a 1954 movie. Yes, Biberman and company were ahead of their time, but I also think that we minimize the awareness of earlier times simply because their voices were drowned out in the films and history books. In the end, the message of Salt of the Earth is that of the old rallying cry, "The people united can never be defeated." On its own terms, the picture is an engaging social drama. Nothing flashy, just a competent, low-budget movie about a strike. But it seems brilliant in contrast to the dullness and timidity surrounding it. Would that such efforts were ordinary, but they were not and are still not. For Arizona Spotlight, this is Chris DeShiel.